Welcome to the Out of a Shine podcast. We are going straight into a subject that has been on our heart for quite some time, but it has really intensified in the past couple of days. And what triggered this whole subject we're going to go into was a post that I saw from one of the gentlemen who was a part of the insurrection, as they call it, January 6th. And he talked about the psychological warfare that is happening, different terminologies that they use, neuro-linguistic programming, Mockingbird, some of the different programs and techniques that the government, CIA, and different operatives did during different parts of America's history. And now this individual was sharing what is happening in mass media. Obviously, he was moving from a different political standpoint, but what it awakened in me is to realize that all of America, all the Western world is built on some of these principles that they call psychological warfare. But in the ancestral documentation, in the book that we spent so much time and have found our cultural foundation and heritage, and the scriptures, as they call it, teaches us a very similar fact about what is really happening in the world. And the only way the remnant, the people who the Most High has called, is going to be able to maneuver through this is to understand that we are in a spiritual battle, aka psychological warfare or spiritual or battle of the mind. And Paul speaks about this in the book of Corinthians when he was in Corinth. And he was talking to a root city in the Greco-Roman metropolitan area. So Paul was talking at the beginning of what fruit we see today. And he was teaching about what was happening at that point, that the children, the firstborn, the indigenous, was losing when they tapped into seeing the world from a Eurocentric point of view. And he says, I'm going to be really bold about sharing this information to you because it is imperative to your survival. He said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not flesh given. It's not nuclear bombs. It's not guns and AK-47s and such. That is a different type of warfare that happens after the warfare I'm going to describe to you is the real warfare you need to be targeting. Mm-hmm. And we see remnants of it with Dr. King and others who moved in the nonviolent movement that they got from the Gandhi effect, right? So we have this type of warfare that he used, which was nonviolent, but he used the power of the word, because we understand in the beginning was the word, and word is first. Word is psychological. So when you talk about these different neuro-linguistic activities to get into the subconscious or into your spirit space and be able to communicate that information to you, or communicate information to you through symbols, through ideologies, through certain
music.
9/11. Mm-hmm. Homophobic, Holocaust, all these different words creates a pop cultural response or viewpoint that has been subconsciously placed through education, through media, through movies. All of these things are working together to keep a certain perception of reality. And Paul says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or physical, but it's mighty through the Most High when you're walking in obedience, when we understand and understand who we are, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down, bringing down, bringing forth imaginations, and every high thought that raises itself against the natural order that the Most High has created. That's the real war. That's the strong warfare. And you were just mentioning, even in the artistic space, that most people are moving in a very mediocre state because the bottom line is the programming of getting the dollar, right? And then if you put a frequency in a different realm, it reacts and can counteract cognitive dissonance toward systematic thought processes that have been played in one's mind over and over again to think a certain way. And once you juxtaposition that, like, Jesus Christ isn't God. What? Jesus Christ isn't God? Well, I didn't say the Son of the Most High, who came into the earth, didn't come to reconcile us back to the Father, and he is one with the Father. That is true, but is his name Jesus Christ? But when I said Jesus Christ is not God, what did I do? Cognitive dissonance, because we've been programmed through these different psychological practices and crafts to think a certain way without using the critical. That's why it says it bypasses the critical reasoning or thought processes, right? And that's what's happened in religion.
You know, just saying the name Jesus Christ, the first thing you see is blonde hair, blue eyes.
There you go.
And we've been seeing that picture since birth, everywhere we go. Mm-hmm. I even think my dad's house is still a picture there. My hands wide.
Crucially,
open.
he had blonde highlights though. It was brown, but in this part right here, that Joe had gold in it.
The program is real.
It's very real.
You speak of it from that perspective, but even in mass marketing, we used to see it in. When, growing up, cigarettes, they used to market cigarettes like crazy. Now they tell you it's cancerous, but back then they said nothing would happen to you. And they were marketing to little kids. So as you see this, our generation, the amount of people who smoke and who are chain smokers, back then it was programmed. It was like, oh, it's cool. Cool. I mean, literally there was a cigarette called Cool.
Oh, wow.
Camp. So even the powers that be that understand how to galvanize minds, how to get people groupthink, mob mentality, they do it in such a systematic way that corrals people. Because a lot of people, like we say it all the time, very few people are bold enough to go against the flow. They will go with the flow. So even if they don't feel or they believe, it's just that sometimes it's very difficult to stand there in opposition, because if you're not confident enough or not sure enough in yourself, that's a very lonesome place to be. That's why oftentimes people just deliberately go with the flow and mix in, integrate, whatever term you want to use. But that's just the way the world is, or how human psychology is. So it makes a lot of sense that person was talking about, because the first thing that came to my mind was groupthink. Let's look at the political realm. You say Democrat, there's something that comes in your mind that majority of people who aren't to tune with that term, they believe one thing. If you say Republican, there's a picture that comes on. There are words that and ideas that pop in your head because, oh, Republican, racist, oh, white, rich, boom, boom, boom. You say, and it's just those terms, because once again, that mass propaganda that has been programmed. And people begin to think like that. So what is ironic is that one of the things that academics say all the time is that people should go to college to learn how to think critically. But typically when they go to college, they don't really think critically, because you notice, or when you're around those type of environments, you will find that the majority of people are groomed to believe the same thing.
Yeah.
And if you try to go against the professor, let's say you're taking a philosophy class, you're talking about evolution. If the professor believes in evolution and you're writing a dissenting paper, good luck on that one. So do they really want you to think critically and have your own ideas, or do they want you to do it their way? Only do it according to the rules that has been laid out for you by us. And this is why you see it. If you go to the majority of public schools, the mentality is very liberal. You go to a lot of private schools, it's going to be more conservative, because a lot of religious and a lot of the parochial schools, those are more religious based. So therefore, they're more in tune with that ideology or that way of thinking, versus the secular realm would be the public, the all encompassing, every free, free is just a melting pot of everybody. So it's very key that, as the scriptures say, that we guard our minds and our hearts, because there's a lot of different distractions and a lot of things. And I was just having this conversation last week. And I was telling this young lady about how seeds are dropped into the minds and the spirits of people, just seeds. Like, I can tell you a lie right now that's false, and I could present it to you as fact. And even when it has been brought to my attention that what I have amplified to somebody else or to the atmosphere is false, the damage is already done, because if I don't go to every single person who heard that to undo it and say this was wrong, the story, it just keeps going and going. So now that's one layer. That's a foundation. Boom, it's frozen over. It becomes calcified. Now, they believe it. It's fact. Even though it's false, in their mind it's facts because no one has refuted it.
Right.
And then this is how seeds get germinated into, and then they become cancerous. And she was like, God, that makes a lot of sense. I said, people do it all the time. They would say things about you. They would do this. And all it does is just building up, building up, building up, building up, building up. And they believe it even though it's false. So as you said, that's that neurological term that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, unless, as the scriptures say, unless you read the word, you meditate on that word to cleanse you, to cleanse your spirit and your mind, to renew it on a daily basis. This is why we are walking. We see the world the way we see it. This is why the masses of people behave in such a mundane and a chaotic manner, because we don't have any peace anymore, because the world is chaotic. But if we don't have that equilibrium, that medium to calm your spirits, to let it go, because not knowing that what? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Meaning what? The things that we're facing right now are not things you can handle out of your own strength. Which means you need to rely on the Most High of everything. You
need that unction.
So that's when that's releasing the pride and understand who your maker is, to understand, hey, Lord, this is getting real out here. I can't have that conversation with somebody else. They may not understand it, but you can go directly to your maker. Whoa, hold up. David did it all the time. You just read the Psalms. Those were prayers. Mm-hmm. That was him having conversations with himself, reading like, if we're part of the Most High, like, why are we losing? Like, what is going on here? How are my enemies encamped? These assault, because he was having that real, as we say, come to Jesus, talk with himself. Like, this, something's off here. Bring us strength. Where's your glory? Like, he's looking for answers.
That's the key.
In today's world, about, like, oh, you're crazy. Nah, you have to reason. You have to understand, but you have to be in communication. And as you say all the time, in direct alignment. Because that alignment, that relationship is critical. So you can understand and hear the voice and understand the words and the message that's being conveyed to your spirit.
And to add to that, what I'm learning more and more is that as I'm in nature, your overstanding, understanding, or understanding is going to be different from another person. Just like the way a elephant will relate to elephants is going to be different than the way it will relate to a giraffe. They may have two different points of view, and it doesn't make them right or wrong. It's just that they have different points of view. The problem with the critical mass formation and things of that nature is trying to make everyone think one way. Just like you talked about the teacher in a philosophical class trying to debate or prove your point on whether you believe there is or there isn't a creator. The different viewpoints at the end of the day is still going to be within the framework of the overall agenda of that institution, of that classroom, of that county, so forth and so on. There are levels. So what did Paul say when he went to Ephesus? As he's growing, he's realizing, saying, you know, we know it's a psychological war, but there's also a different type of realm that's governing the psychological points. Mm-hmm. What is being said or what needs to be spoken for the overall view that is tied to the fallen. He said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, in Corinthians. In Ephesians, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So once again, take it out of the physical. Mm-hmm. You're not going to win in the physical. It has to be mental or spiritual. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness of the world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Those are four categories that he spoke of. And one thing the Most High showed a long time ago, it is almost as if when you see the armed forces, right? You have Navy, the Army, the Marines, and the Air Force. They have four different specific lines of warfare, and the understanding, overstanding, understanding of the Navy is going to be different from the Army, but there's still an overall goal, which is to protect. So if Satan's kingdom can't be divided, so he has to get you to agree legally, right? The reason why in the physical realm, they can treat us the way they do as Afro peoples, as Latino peoples, as indigenous people, so forth and so on, is because you have agreed by law through word or signature that you are an informant who is giving over your rights through birth certificate to be property, aka citizen of this republic, this nation, this company, this group, so forth and so on. No longer are they give you social security number. Sealed that Bama. What's your social security number? Just like I'm learning now with the cattle. They're like, we don't have no names to these cattle. 424, meaning born in April, 424. And this is a full-bred scimitar. Da-da-da-da-da is the genetics. Yes, so they took nature.
You remember back in high school, sometimes you'll take an exam and they'll put the grades on the door or something like that. They wouldn't have your name. You'll just have your number, your student ID number.
So you went to those bigger schools. My school didn't do that, but I could see exactly your last four digits or your three or whatever they do to cover your identity. But we've accepted that. So once you accept it, you are not able to cast down the imagination or the high thought because you can't see it. You are under what they call a stronghold or under a system. So Paul, when we read the scriptures from that standpoint, and the Most High is now beginning to reveal and give us spiritual overstanding of what's happening, now he's given us the tools, that power. That's what the anointing is. That's why Samson was able. He said the spirit of the Most High would come upon him and he would move. Or when the spirit of the Most High came upon David, he said, I will dance. So that's why worship is so important. We're going through such a cleanse right now in the music portion of what we're doing because the Most High is purifying it so that he can come and dwell healing in his wings through the sounds, through the vibrations. Remember what you were saying? If something was to be focused on the actual authenticity of the sound and putting out something that is authentic and healing and not just mass production, you could take that mass formation not only in the critical, but you could use it in music. So they use certain types of tones, frequencies, patterns, 808s, melodies, so that everyone says what? The same thing. So it's hypnosis. You're getting the same message every time. So if 5,000 people kept doing that for 3 years, if you don't do that, your music doesn't sound good because we've been using these critical formation linguistic programming and moved it through every portion, whether it be movies. The same movies come out. It's always about what? Of Afro peoples, bad enslavement, drugs, debauchery. That's the formation. That's the rubric. If you want to work, get money with us, do whatever we want, you got to do these particular things.
Got to do this.
And if you don't do these things, you're not going to hit the mass market. Why? Because the fallen can't absorb that. But if you go in the name of the Most High by the power of the Spirit, now you're going against the grain. And now you see in the scriptures, when you hear about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were in the bondage and they went against the grain and walked in obedience. He said, once your obedience is complete, Paul said. So when Daniel and his brothers were resisting, even in the midst of a bad situation, because they realized if we don't resist now, it's only going to get worse. So we need to stand in the gap for the next generation. And that's where our people have lost a sense of value because we don't care about the next generation.
You know, to piggyback on what you're saying about the Hebrew boys, also a part of the disconnect is that their beliefs were baked in tradition as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this was, it wasn't like a cognitive choice, but it's actual a lifestyle. Like, we can't do this because we as a people don't do that. We don't do that. So yeah, we don't have the tradition today and a unified front to know that this is how we operate and we don't go against that. There are other folks, other groups who do, but that's one of the things that are missing because don't have that tradition locked in place to know what it is. You say you're a believer, as a son, as a daughter of this tribe, this is how we move. This is our characteristics. And that's how they stood tall. I'm like, we can't do that. Sorry. No disrespect, King. We just can't eat that.
And we're willing to die for it. And we're willing to die for it. People ain't willing to die for it. That's why it can't be a faith thing. Anytime people say faith, it's not cultural. It's not you. It's like, oh, I believe that I'm a monkey. Or I believe that I'm a fish. Or I believe that I'm a man. Or I believe that I'm a woman. Or what does nature suggest, confirm? And how do you align yourself culturally? The scriptures or the people, the firstborn, it's a cultural DNA thing. That's why the Most High spent so much time, although human beings have tried to wrangle it and misuse it, it still has the life force in it, in the fingerprints, that every time you see in what they call the Old Testament, there is a name, a tribe, a people from which these people are coming from. I'm in the book of Exodus now, and we're doing our recording for that whole book. And I'm seeing a beautiful pattern in the Most High's way that Moshe was his mom and his dad was from the tribe of Levi. Mm-hmm. Levi were the priest tribe that birthed those types of people. Mm-hmm. So he was already in alignment to receive that type of understanding from the Most High, because the Levites in the book of Jasher shows more, or gives more detail than what Genesis does. It showed that the Levites did not give in to working for Mizraim or Egypt during the time when they were trying to transition them to become slaves. And the only reason why they became slaves is because the sons of Esau, which was in opposition to Jacob, this was an internal fight, like we see in Ukraine, or we see like Tigray, and then other forces can come in and maneuver on that. What we see in the physical happens in the spirit realm as well. Principalities, powers, rulers, darkness, as well, spiritual wickedness, high places. So the principalities and powers are maybe like mayors and governors, officials on a local level. Principalities, powers. Powers would be maybe like another group of society that has power. It could be businessmen, the entrepreneurs, the ones who are the millionaires, or so forth and so on. And then principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. Rulers would be the high elites that you don't really see or know, but they're families, right? Then the next one is the ones who are seated, just like you have quote unquote preachers who talk to the Most High and get information from him. That's what they do. They have yielded their members from a bloodline, from years of family tradition. Your family tradition, and that's what happened to the Afro peoples when they got pushed into the third space. I call it the third degree burn. The first burn and a critical burn is what happened on the continent. Mm-hmm. With the colonization, where you think you're somebody you're not. Then you had that second degree, which are in the Caribbean, so forth and so on. They still have a sense of themselves. They're fighting for their rights and trying to be. That's why they were able to capture those areas, because they still had a warrior spirit as they was pulling off the greatest, pulling off the kings, pulling off the royal seeds, the tribe of Wahuda or Yehuda that you see in the older maps in that Gold Coast area, which makes sense all the way from the ground up. The people are of a high value. So that's why they extracted them to come and work these other lands, because they knew how to do it. Mm-hmm. So that third degree would be South America, Brazil, Ecuador, Paraguay, Bolivia, Costa Rica, Grenada, all that there, moving up into the South, where the root of our people, the strength of them, the Most High's promise to that group of people, push the religion aside. It is some divine act that these groups of people are still even surviving alive to this day and thriving in one way or another, even though so dismantled and perplexed, because they lost their sense of their heritage. But the only thing that keeps them in the game is what? Not faith. DNA. Mm-hmm. So the DNA structure, the soil, if the creator created the earth and made us from the soil, made us from the earth, he's the only one that can protect, sustain, and wants to sustain these people that everybody who has been massively programmed to think are not even human. Yet they contribute so much, not only in land, but in people, to the whole world. For you to hate somebody critically, think you hate somebody so much, but you love their music, you love their culture, you do all their stuff, what does that make you? You see, so once we get past what the cultural norms are right now, and we get back to spiritual wickedness, high places, and bringing those thoughts under subjection to the truth, now the strongholds are being challenged. Now you see the Daniel moments. Now you see the Moshe moments, where he would speak to Pharaoh. Oh, Pharaoh don't want to listen? He said, don't even go to him this time. This is like the ninth plague. Go into the air and point your stick towards the heavens and call for darkness. It's going to be so dark that they're going to feel the darkness. That's what the Most High did. He just hit him with all these plagues after the other. He said, I'll fight for you. But right now, we're following too many other gods. We're going against what the Most High said. And Deuteronomy told us, in our culture, not everybody else, remember what everyone else does? Hey, they can do that for you. You can't do that, because if you do this, because you're my firstborn, just like if you had your firstborn child, you treat them differently than the siblings, you're going to pay for this. If I come back to this house and it's not clean when I get back, you not going. You're not. But what about them? They're not listening to me. You're in charge.
No better.
Period.
You know, you said something like about the hatred. Even some of that hatred is, once again, it's programmed. in that if you even sit and talk to and ask people why they believe it, they can't give you a straight answer. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's almost like you're just supposed to do this. You're the opposition. So when you get down to the crux of things, once again, as you said, it's something that has been perpetuated, and people begin to believe it because they don't want to go against the flow, go against the wave of opposition that would then make them vulnerable mm-hmm. to many, many different consequences in many different shapes of form.
And it's because we haven't been taught, we don't know who we are. Thus why the Exodus is so important, because the Most High was teaching Moshe every move. Most High would talk to him and Aaron, they would listen, then they would do what?
Go and do it.
Go and do. Thus saith the Most High, this, 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 and this. And then once they said it, then the Most High operate. So you're seeing this revitalization happen after a 400 mark, or for a long period of time, not being connected to the ancestral ways, not being connected to the ways of the Most High. And in Deuteronomy 28, all the way down, it says, if you continue to go against me and not do what I tell you to do, you will become a byword over the nations and you will never get rest. You will always be fearful. All these things. And I'm like, what group of people have these symptoms?
Always fearful.
It's right there. And that's a part of what they said was a part of the programming. They isolate a group of people. They hit them with anxiety and fear at the same time. Aggression and anxiety and fear at the same time. Aggression, fear.
That's a deadly combination.
Boom. Just hit you with that. Boom. You're like, huh. And then aggression. Let's put it in the music. Let's put it in this. Let's do it in this. Let's put. So this is a constant warfare that is happening, that is desecrating the creation of the Most High. Because what is the real war about? The falling in the beginning, knowing that the time is short. He can't destroy the Most High. He can't destroy the earth. You could do all this stuff and cause all these things to happen, but at the end of the day, we'll be gone. Right. So it's ultimately whoever created the earth is showing you in creation. It's not a warfare like the Most High and the devil. No, 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 no. It's just that because he's been thrown into this realm, he has the ability to cause the realm to see things a certain way. He said the God of this world who blinded the hearts and minds of men from receiving the knowledge of the truth, because he hits them with trinkets. He hits them with materialism. He hits them with thought processes and ways of being, so that you stay in this constant repetition of thought process. But what did our brother Bob say? Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. I agree. Yes, it does take us doing it, but it has to be by the power of the Most High. What he tells Zerubbabel in Zechariah, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. But we don't want to suffer. We don't want to stand out. But Moshe had to stand out. And the Most High said, I'm going to bring you out of Egypt. I'm not going to birth it in Egypt. I'm not going to birth it in that Egyptian mentality, whether it's physical or in the mindset. I want you to come out of there and go into the wilderness and do sacrifices unto me. The Pharaoh would be like, his heart was hard. And he was like, nah, you can go and the men can go, but leave the children and the cattle behind. Most High hit him with a plague. He was like, all right. You can go, the children go and the men go, but leave your cattle behind. No, we have to do sacrifices. We don't know what the Most High is going to say till we get there. Just like you said, we don't know what it's going to look like. So mm-hmm. It's taking the men of the tribes, i.e. out of Ashan, that's the core of what we do, is to begin to get the children ready for the Exodus, this next move of the spirit that is bringing us back to the land. Sometimes that land is going to be here in the Americas for a season, and ultimately it'll be going back to the Holy Land. Where? We're not sure. That's why we have to act in obedience and begin to move forward. So in this series, we're going to talk about what those strongholds are and how hypnotism is almost like a drug or alcohol. When you drink alcohol, what do they call it? Spirits, because it leaves your subconscious or your spirit man, spirit person,
senses gone.
Open. Mm-hmm. So anytime you're doing acts, things that they say, this is what you have to do to be cool, just do this, that act is opening you up to spiritual realities or psychological realities, if that's more easier because of the vibration so low. Anytime you say that, the devil has so much power to be able to twist that, like he's done with religion and all these other guards. But we're coming through the power of the Most High to set the captives free as we walk in obedience on behalf of our brethren and behalf of our sisters to be able to move things forward.
For sure, I'm gonna say. You know, you said some things here that are very important, and something I think we need to highlight is that we as individuals have to avail ourselves, and we have to have the Most High on our mind, in our hearts, like more than you rely on human beings. It literally has to be that
100%.
Because as I look back over our lives and our experiences, I think at those pivotal turns in life, and a lot of the I would say the crescendo, the apex of what we deem to be success and happiness, it all came from the same foundation. It's because we constantly lived according to the scriptures and with a mindset of living according to the principles of the scriptures as well. Mm-hmm. So it's everything we see in life, like you said, get past the physical. There's a spiritual component here, meaning there's this issue that we might be encountering or that we foresee, there's something more to it. Let's figure that out. Because mm-hmm. once you figure that out, all this other stuff is the symptoms, that just the smoke just goes away. We need to, what started this fire? You know? And these are concepts that even as adults, I see people never take into consideration. Mm. It's more or less, let's deal with the symptoms. Let's deal with what has happened. We don't want to deal with the root. Mm-mm. But the root is where the conversation needs to be. And why? How do we get here? Mm-hmm. How do we get to this point? Let's peel back the layers. Let's see the steps. Where do we come vulnerable? Where do we open ourselves up? Where do we go wrong in our thinking? What caused us to veer off that path so that we don't make these mistakes again? Mm-hmm. Because this is why we read the scriptures, because we see errors. We see successes. Because as the scriptures say, there's nothing new under the sun. Mm-hmm. Formulas, we look at science and say one plus one is two. You know, hydrogen, H2O, all of these are formulas that we say need to be in place in order to call this thing what it is. So that means in life, we have the blueprint. It's in the word. We're literally here regurgitating principles, as he said when he walked this earth, that when there's all that's in the world is what? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's it. Mm-hmm. We don't have to be worried about the nuances of what type. No, we understand that in my world, everything falls into one of those categories.
Period.
So once you're aware of that, you understand, okay, I see what that is. I see what the root cause of that's pride. Pride of what? Well, pride of life, because somewhere in your heart of hearts, you believe that you are probably bigger than and don't need the supreme being, the most high God in your life. You really believe that. Mm-hmm. This is why you move and your life flows the way it flows. And then we can use these terms and say narcissism. This is what the media propagation would say, because we attribute these things to human beings. But it's very simple. Once you understand, you can see, like, okay, we see what the root of this. Okay, that's bitterness. Mm-hmm. Bitterness. Yeah, this is why you move the way you move. There's a seed of bitterness in there somewhere. Don't know where it started from, but it's in your heart. And that seed has germinated to the point where now you think this is you. Mm. But everybody can see it when they come out. It's almost like a repellent. You don't attract anything. It's like there's a root of bitterness in your heart that you even see it. That we're like, why people, you call them haters. It's that they're not hating. Mm. There is something that's deflecting people to repel from you. But if you don't see that, you think it's something very minuscule. No, this is something very big. But once again, how would these things be revealed to you unless it's been revealed through the Spirit?
That's it.
How would you understand that if you're not in tune? Your spirit man is not built up to a point where you can handle that weight, and you can listen to those words, and you can begin to correct and begin to take the as you said, take action in order to ameliorate and make drastic changes in one's life, not just for you, but your family and future generations to come. Because somebody has to be that, I would call it the sacrificial lamb. Somebody has to be that example. Somebody has to be that standard.
And Daniel is willing to do that. Show us Shadrach, Meshach,
and Abednego. He's willing to do that.
That's why the Most High exalted them. He said, trust in me. The things we haven't been trusting in the Most High, because we've been trusting in the religion that's been passed to us. And the Most High was gracious. But because the spiritual realm is colliding with this realm more and more, he said, in former times, you got away with that. That was okay. But now I'm calling all people to repentance. Everyone has to look back and see, is this the right path? Just because it has been, that's the stronghold. That's the stronghold we're talking about. Remember when the Savior came off of the boat and the legion was there? Mm-hmm. He said, when the waste goes out of a man, when he was explaining it to his disciples, our Savior said, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it goes into waste places or goes out into spiritual realms or the unseen, will come back. Sometimes it shows up as a woman. Sometimes it shows up as a man. Sometimes it shows up as a job, an opportunity, a drug, or whatever your quote unquote vice is. The fallen uses those as entry points. Everything is entry points. Just like you said earlier, when you say Democrat, Republican, automatically, as soon as you hear that word, it's like hypnosis. You snap into this, whatever your thought processes and ideologies are with that particular party, that's how you're going to move. So if I say something that triggers towards, say, a Republican side, if you're a Democrat, it's going to what? Rub you the wrong way. So then that thing begins to control you. That's what we call an unclean entity that could be suppressing you, oppressing you, depressing you. And we all deal with these fallen ones that have been passed down through our actions, ancestral actions, family actions. And only by the Spirit can you call these things out. Because remember when the disciples asked the Savior, they said, how come we can't cast out these devils? He said, because some of these things don't come out except for by prayer and fasting. You have to be in a certain spiritual realm of understanding to be able to maneuver in these spaces. So that's what we're teaching, and the Most High is wanting us to begin to really develop and through these experiences that we're moving into, is to get the people spiritually minded again, get back to the spiritually minded way of life, and then show my glory as a sign through the works, through your jobs, through your entrepreneurism, through whatever it is that you do. That is the outflow of the internal reality. So we're really looking forward to diving deeper into these in specifics and begin to help our people as the Most High is showing us how to walk spiritually minded again, so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. As soon as that thing comes up, like Cole said, you know, oh, I'm putting you right in the box. Lust of the flesh.
Lust of the eye and the pride of life. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's a combination of all of them. Like I learned today that cement is gravel, stone, and sand. Mm-hmm. Create cement with water. Just like you see those elements, it's just like pride, bigotry, and bitterness with water, with propaganda equals what? Right wing, left wing, mid.
Boy, when those elements come together with water, what does it do? Harden. It becomes solid. Unmovable.
The Most High already showed us everything already. It's all there. But we don't overstand, or we don't take the time. Most of our leaders are under the sway of the wicked one, but don't know it, or have already been an Esau or a... There's different forms of collaborators. There's the Esau spirit, but then there's the Lot spirit. Then you have Moab and Ammon. You have Balaam. You have all these different characters or people groups in the scriptures that lets you know that the warfare isn't a physical one. It's not a racial one. It is a spiritual one that shows up through different bloodlines, that shows up in different ways, that shows up in different manifestations, in different policies, in different acts, in different cultural norms, whatever it may be. But always ask yourself that one question. This way that we're thinking that everyone is doing, what types of seed is it sowing, and what type of fruit are we going to see? Or what could we bear from this? And the reason why we don't think that way is because we don't think agriculturally, but we're still treated as cattle or chattel. Go into school, learn a certain way of doing it that they want you to do it, which is outdated in most parts. Bring you back in to be worker bee, not to be free, not to be autonomous. And that's the warfare, the psychological or spiritual warfare that we're constantly building and breaking through.
Man, I started laughing because as you were talking, a couple of weeks ago, somebody had said something at work. I was like, man, that's a demonic spirit. And at first, what are you calling me, a demon? I said, it just called me. I didn't even know I said it. And I was on Zoom. That's what threw it off.
Speaking to the thing behind you, not you.
So that's a demonic thing spirit. Behind what are you trying to call me, a demon? I said, I said, I had to press mute real quick.
And he was talking to his disciples. So we're not free of it.
That's what he said. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, you got to know exactly what it is. He's like, that thought right there, get that out of here.
Exactly. Remove it. We don't do that anymore because we saw everything so censored. So, don't say that. That's not culturally right. Da, 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 da. There's no strong stance as a man, because if you be strong, what is the weaponization on that? Toxic masculinity.
Another term.
All these terms are used to silo and control and to deafen and quiet the truth. So we have to overstand that and be strong and continue to move forward. But from there,
that's it.
We will catch y'all on the next podcast.
Next time.